Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 253.
Not a spoiler episode. Regular episode.
Regular old 253, buddy.
Because I'm just excited because we've got a really good spoiler episode coming up
later.
Yes, we
do. We already recorded it, guys. Mm-hmm. It's ready. Get ready. So today you're going to get a little taster. A little taster.
A little taster.
Yeah, we did an American Sniper spoiler ep, guys, that will be released Thursday, the 29th of January.
We've got a lot to talk about. We're going to talk about American Sniper. We're going to talk about Inherent Vice, A Most Violent Year, Paddington, and Cake.
Yeah, a lot of movies got got sonified.
Yeah.
Got visualized. Yeah.
We punched these movies with our eyes.
We did punch these movies with our eyes repeatedly. I just saw Cake this morning on a screener. I don't know what that means, but...
That means you ate cake while you were watching it.
I should have. Yeah, I'm feeling a little run down. I'm not going to lie to you. A little bit of a scratchy throat and the like. Get the fuck off
samurai,
my back.
Samurai flu?
Samurai flu. What? A samurai flu sounds like... What would a samurai flu be? My stomach's upset because I stuck a blade into it?
Exactly. It's half seppuku.
Blade meaning wiener.
Yeah, I stuck a dick into my stomach. So I
by way of your mouth.
Oh,
the old samurai flu. Yeah. That guy's got the samurai flu.
Someone's got a new friend.
He's a little light in the loafers. That's how he got the samurai flu.
His katana's a little sparkly.
If you know what I mean. His rice is sticky.
Ladies and gentlemen, Tim Conway is here tonight.
And Dorfun Golf, ladies and gentlemen.
Dorfun Golf. That is the...
Dorf could be on anything and be adorable.
He's
any topic.
I remember meeting...
Dorf is like an oracle.
First of all,
Dorf on the future. Dorf, what's in store for us?
I see the polar ice cap melting.
Speaking of old guys, we saw Don Rickles in concert week ago.
Our guest, this is amazing. Laura House, ladies
and
gentlemen.
Yeah, she won't let us introduce her.
Everybody knows. Hey, you guys. You all know.
So, you saw,
am
Laura
I
House.
Laura House or am I someone related to you?
Laura's mad because I said she sounded like my aunt. She's like, oh, what does that mean? I was like, no, my aunt's a lovely.
Because nobody's like, my aunt is dead sexy and you sound just like her. It was like, no. It was like, you sounded like my aunt.
If you would have said my aunt is dead sexy, that would be creepy.
That's worse than saying you sound like my lovely aunt.
That's worse than saying she's very nice.
You men. Weird stuff. No, she lives in a closet and you just slip coloring books under the door and you were like, you sound like my aunt.
Yeah. So that was code.
I get it.
Yeah. Laura, what do you want to color today?
I can crack all the codes today. I'm the imitation game.
You slide coloring books under the door.
Here, it's Tuesday. It's your Tuesday book.
Yeah. You want to make bunnies look friendly?
Here's a green.
Yeah. Stay in the line.
She gets a color every day.
One color. That's it.
Yeah.
Last
right.
time we gave
What's
her
a
two.
Closet? She can't even see any of the colors. Yeah.
We did
all
two
right.
colors.
Right, today you can do grass. So, what should we talk about first? American Sniper? Oh, by the way, this episode is brought to you by Vegas.com. We'll get into that a little bit
Vegas.
Later, too. We're going to talk about shows and buffets.
Yeah, Chris and I have been to Vegas so many times, so we know all the places to see what to do.
I want a $2 steak.
You got it, kid.
What could go wrong?
Every meal, what could go right?
All right, yeah, let's get into American Sniper. Obviously, there's crazy amounts of controversy surrounding this movie now with the Michael Moore tweet, and then...
We'll get into it in... detail and depth in the spoiler up.
Yeah, it's 50 minutes of us talking
about that. Oh, really interesting.
So
I just need to tiptoe around it.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, in that one part, I felt it was good.
We'll do the actual review.
We'll do the movie review. We can hear your opinion, but we're just saying Chris and I
And then we're going to put you in a closet and slip you a coloring
book. Oh, my God. I want red.
Yeah. You'll get whatever color you want, pumpkin.
Oh, yay. Closet color.
All right. Fire engines today.
So we're going to first just talk about American Sniper as a movie. I liked it as a movie. There's some stuff ending in there that, we won't go into on this episode, but in the spoiler app, there's some ending stuff that you and I both had some issues with. You maybe a little more than me. But overall, I thought it was a good film in terms of – Bradley Cooper does an amazing job. I think he covers the subtlety, and this is a credit to Clint Eastwood, I think, in terms of he's this badass. He's a Navy SEAL. He's like, my job. I got one job, and that's to kill people and protect my guys. And that in these close-ups, you see his emotion. I think Bradley Cooper's – I think he's a really good actor. And I think they covered dealing with PTSD really well in this movie.
Well, it was really I liked it too. But what I liked about it was essentially a biopic. Really, it showed the start, like how he was raised growing up, how he joined the service, and then also what happened to him there and what happened to him after. It goes start to finish with some omissions and a couple of things that were glossed over a little bit, like we said about the ending. But I really liked it. I thought it was a nuanced film. I thought Clint Eastwood did a great job directing. I thought Bradley Cooper did a great job acting. And what I loved about it too is it didn't take. And again, this is a movie that is mired in controversy. Unfairly, it's very unfairly because you really shouldn't go into it with your filter on. I mean, I really don't see this as there's no he's pro war, he's so anti war. This was a biopic.
To pay devils, the one that I think is a fair criticism is the guy from the book and the guy in the movie are a little different.
Sure,
I mean?
But isn't that a lot of movies?
That's almost.
I mean, wouldn't you say that about Gandhi, the movie, like the Facebook, the social network,
right?
He was like, I wasn't trying to impress a girl.
Right.
I did not of have course. Any friends. Yeah. Yeah, I did. Yeah. I think that's the weirdest criticism of this film is that they're like he's different. Than what he's different in the book than it was in the movie. Like the Harry Potter is different in the book than it is in the movie. Yeah. It's a different medium.
The character,
and you have to tell the story to serve the film.
The character portrayed by an actor is different than the actual person.
And who knows what people write in books?
Right.
And lies.
Yeah.
Can and write also, anything. Chris wrote a book. Anyone can write a book.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
we wrote a book.
Wait a minute.
We were all three of us were in a book. People don't know anything. Books.
I think that's an excellent point. I remember being on a. I did that podcast.
The Sniper Podcast.
The Sniper Podcast. No, was it Comics on Comics? And I was on once with Len Wein, who helped write The Watchmen.
Oh, wow.
Graphic novels.
Right.
And that Watchmen movie had just come out. And he was like, yeah, he said the same thing. They're different mediums, guys.
You can't.
They're not the same thing.
Yeah.
So what Clint Eastwood is trying to do is show the humanity of this guy in these various situations. When he grew up, when he's in war, when he's with his wife.
There's going to be poetic license.
There's going to be poetic license because
you can't get that mad at it.
And also like.
Unless you really miss it.
Right, unless you have an agenda to push.
Yes.
It is incredible what people project onto it, though. Because just as many people are saying it's pro-war as they're saying it's anti-war.
Right.
So it's like anti-war people are looking and saying that is pro-war.
Yeah.
And the opposite, which is kind of masterful. I mean, if that were a painting in a museum that everyone saw the opposite thing in, well, obviously it's raining. Well, obviously it's sunny. You'd go, that must be the best fucking painting in the whole world. That's insane.
That's a great point.
Like, if you can just see, like, everyone is using it, opposing, and I don't know.
And then it gets
ridiculous.
Into the whole media machine, and we get into that, too, where it's like, okay, well, media needs a manufactured controversy. Here's a great one about a movie. Now, there's an old saying that really comes into play here, and I love the saying, is that we don't see things as they are. We see things as we are. And everyone has that filter that they view things through. And every once in a while, a piece of art or a movie or something comes through that people have vastly different reactions to, and everyone's watching the same thing. Like, we bring it up with Bill Maher's show when they're talking about these crazy controversies, and one of the guys goes, "Did you guys see the same movie I did?"
Yeah.
Well, that's the other thing too, and I forgot to bring this up in the spoiler ep, and I want to bring it up just again as a movie. It dealt with how hard it is on the families. It really showed that there's a great scene in there where he's calling home to the wife. And he's basically just giving her like, "Oh yeah, honey, we're over here, kind of." Yeah. And she's on the couch, and what's playing in the background is the news. And I just remember that from going over there and doing my little two-week dick joke tours. And my family would see something in the news and would flip the fuck out. Mm. And I remember coming home and talking to my family and how nervous we were. So nervous. I go, "Now imagine, guys, if I was a soldier and I was gone for 12 months, and not only a soldier, but I chose to be in the infantry,
right?"
And every time you see like three guys die today and a thing, you saw how hard it was, and just the little minor things they did in terms of what she's doing. You know, she's in a car and she's like, what's going on? What? Huh? You know, and he's just like, "It's just another day at the office, honey." Mm-hmm, and she's like, "What the fuck?" You know,
yeah. Well, that I think that really felt like an embellishment. She's listening to a firefighter.
Well, no, that scene's right.
Hello,
yeah.
Honey. I've just been hearing firing guns for 45 minutes.
Can I put you on hold, sweetheart?
Yeah, yeah. Hang on just a second. It's very weird music that we have on the phone for hold. It might sound like gunfire.
Those scenes, we talked about that. That was an embellishment. But many of the other interactions with her, and then like she'd get off the phone and you'd see her like,
but you know,
but what were you going to say, Laura?
That's why we cheat.
Yeah.
But why you got to cheat if your husband's a soldier.
Well, I remember like going back to that point of like...
No, that wasn't the takeaway. That was my takeaway.
You saw it
was like Beautiful Mind. I was like, you got to leave him.
Yeah.
like when he won the Nobel Prize, I was like, oh, sorry, spoiler alert.
Yeah.
But I was like, oh, was it all for that? Right. You stay with that weirdo that whole time just for that? Ladies, get on OkCupid.
But I want to go back to this point a little bit about like just the interpretations of the film.
We see things how
people,
we are.
Yeah, yeah. Because I remember
can I
this
mention
happening.
My theory that goes along with that?
Absolutely.
People like to be mad.
Yeah. Well, I.
That is something I. Well, I couldn't argue with that. Sorry to interrupt.
I know I couldn't
That's
argue
part
with
of the
that
problem
at all.
In this country,
people love to be mad.
Yeah.
It's
here's something that can help me be mad.
Yeah. At other people that aren't like me. That's the other thing. Like when the movie Syriana came out. And the criticism was like, it glorifies suicide bombings. Mm. Really?
What?
It glorifies suicide bombings?
Well, that's
bombings?
Why there was that big spike in suicide bombers, because people were like, that looks awesome.
Yeah. It's like, oh,
remember
really?
All the kids were doing it, and we're like, you gotta stop!
Starving, disenfranchised youth get brainwashed and blow themselves up? That looks fantastic. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wish I was young again.
And then even Clint Eastwood had to deal with it when, what was it, Million Dollar Baby? Oh, this glorifies assisted suicide. What are you talking about?
I know. Well, that's the thing, too. And to get back to it, like with Clint Eastwood, he says in an interview recently when all this Michael Moore stuff blew up and Bill Maher stuff, he said, I think this is very much an anti-war movie. It shows how horrible it is. And then he references Letters from Iwo Jima, which was showing how awful war is from the side of the Japanese, you know, who are quote-unquote enemy. You know, they were, but it just shows you... To me, when I see war movies that are done like this, I go, yeah, war's awful.
Yeah.
It is. I mean, you could hold it up as saying, this is like the intro could be, this is what war does to this man and his family.
Right.
That's the story. It's not a global perspective of war. I mean, on that end, though, I do want to just... to throw my hat in the ring of opinions, I preferred Hurt Locker. That's what I thought of most of the time while I was watching it. Mm-hmm. I was like, I was much more entertained as far as a film goes by Hurt Locker. I didn't really like him, you know, the sniper. Mm-hmm. I didn't care to watch it. I felt like it was long. I felt like as a film, I just didn't really love it as a film. And when I walked out, I was in Texas when I was hearing about it, and he's Texan, of course, and that means something to me. But when people would describe, he wasn't like that guy in the movie. He was a psycho that was great at, I'm not sure what I can give away, but he was great at this. You know, he happened to be killing given people. This job. Yeah. He was great at, but he was an awful psycho person.
Spoiler alert on the definition of sniper.
To me, yeah. Sorry, I'm just like, I don't know what a spoiler is, but I was like, I would rather have seen that movie. I'd rather have seen a guy who was really crazy and hated people, and his best outlet was that he was amazing at being a sniper. Mm-hmm. Like, so on that, I was like, that sounds like a much more interesting film to me. So I found it kind of slow, and but also I'm a girl, you're a boy, and you might like, and that's also, boy, see, it might be a boy movie.
That is a fair critique of this film.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's about,
that's just about the movie.
The entertainment value.
Yeah, the entertainment value didn't resonate with you.
I was like, but Hurt Locker was amazing. Stuff was blowing up.
Right.
but to me, but it also had, but it,
I'm more of a bomb squad.
A lot of stuff blew up.
I like bomb squads over bullets.
But
boys.
I did, the more tension, but I was.
Put down the long gun, pick up the grenade.
Yeah, I was like, this is much, but also to me, it dealt with similar things of like, you're in this environment where everything is so high stakes and then you can't pick out a box of cereal. You know, the grocery store aisle is freaking you out. And like, you know, it to me, it had aspects of that. And just as I was watching, I was like, oh, I just felt like, I preferred Hurt Locker, just as far as these go.
Yeah, that's such a fair assessment, and I can see somebody. I can totally see that totally makes sense to me. Like what Bill Maher said, I was like, "What the fuck movie are you talking about?"
Yeah, he was framing it in a really weird way, but he was also kind of slipping and sliding on that whole show. Right. Like I thought it was interesting that was like Bill. I don't know, like when he's talking to Bill Burr, yeah. I don't know you, but this, and Bill was like, I don't know. That's not my experience.
Yeah.
He was like, Matt, like, hey, can you believe the internet freaks out about this? I don't know. I don't really experience that.
Right.
But he wasn't getting his point across in several. Yeah. And so I was like, we just watched it last night, and I was like, this is an odd episode. Like, he's not scoring like he usually does.
Right.
On these. And I think he seemed annoyed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's what I mean. He seemed annoyed with his guests when he was like, why are you... Was this Republican talking so much, and why aren't people,
why was he being right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He really, I agree. It was definitely a compassionate film about like it's what we forget about. We speak in more of these grand terms, and it's like something outside of us that's happening, and it's something that's happening to other people and with other people. And this was the thing that said, well, here's what happens when you make someone a murderer. You know, yeah, like
you train this guy, and
you're training thousands of people to be murderers, and then you expect them to just come back in and go to work and everything's fine, and you know, just slip back into society. Maybe teach second grade or you know, whatever they're supposed to do. What do we think they're supposed to do? We're like, go be a murderer for 5 years, and then just like, why are you being weird about it when you come back? It's murder. So he's looking at his little son, and he's looking at other people. You know, oh, it's okay to kill this kid, but I have a kid and I can't, you know, when you realize like at first, of course, it's bad guys. I'm helping, I'm protecting. And when you start realizing it's murder, you know, it rips you apart.
I think that is such a great point, and that's a great thing to take away. And that's what the Bill Maher thing was like. In his book, he calls the Iraqi savages. What the fuck is he supposed to call them? And what are they calling him? And what did we call the Germans?
What are you going to call them? Brothers?
Yeah.
I got to go kill some of my brothers today for my country. Yeah,
God,
of course.
Love them. Also, see you in heaven, friend.
Also, in the movie, he did call them savages.
Right.
He didn't go on and on about it, but I heard him say savages. So, I mean, I didn't think he was... I wouldn't look at that movie. If you hadn't heard anything about it, I wouldn't watch that movie and go, wow, this guy was depicted as a really great guy.
Yeah, right.
I thought he was depicted as a regular to just under regular... person, as far as a good person goes. I don't think in any way it wasn't like Born on the 4th of July or, you know, whatever. I didn't remember the details of that movie, but it wasn't like, I didn't think it was particularly great.
I think too, the point you're talking about, like a friend of mine that I went to college with who joined the Army and was an airborne and then went to Ranger school. And he lost 3 friends in 9/11 because he's from New York. And so he joined up at age 35. And when he came back, he said to me, and we were in acting school together out here in LA. Mm-hmm. We played lacrosse together.
You joined at age 35.
35, yeah. And he came back and said, what am I supposed to, Graham, what's my job other than be a hitman?
Yeah.
He said that to me. He goes, that's all I've been trained to do is be a hitman.
Yes.
You know, and I was like, wow. And then talking also with...
Go work with for the CIA.
Well, that's what... I mean...
And you were like, I don't know, but...
You go to a contractor? I mean, you see, like, yeah.
I mean, that's why some of those guys then joined up with the contractors over there, because they're like, what else?
Right.
Oh, absolutely.
Mercenaries.
And all you can be is a... someone who holds a gun.
Yeah.
What else? Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. What else?
And I mentioned this a lot. I had a conversation with a fan of the show, Lucas Lunsman, who was in the Army, still is in the Army, but was deployed in Iraq on 3 deployments. And we interviewed him for Earbuds. And, you know, he was talking about the thing that they got right in this film is when you come home and it's the scene. He didn't like a lot of the technical stuff in the Hurt Locker, but he loved that scene in front of the cereal boxes.
It was amazing.
Because he goes, over there, you know, like he said, all the briefing scenes were very accurate, where they're like, El Zarqawi, we got to go house to house. It's going to fucking suck, but we got to get this guy. And he was like, anytime there was a problem over there, you did something about it.
Mm-hmm.
You took action, and then you come back here, and you're like, I got to pick cereal?
Yeah.
And he goes, and there's a
And we're talking about what's on TV.
Yeah. And he said that too. And
but when he was defusing bombs, I know he had a problem with the technical stuff. He wasn't on the phone.
Yeah. He wasn't on the phone like an American sniper. That is the one thing Clint Eastwood really should have not.
There was a second thing too that our guest also mentioned, and I was aware of it now, and I saw it. Like, that was the most fake babies in any movie I have ever seen. Yeah.
Wow, I know. They're on the internet. There's like, these are really...
And at one point, you're like, well, this baby's not moving because it's a doll.
It's an apple.
So clearly, you know...
It's an apple that somebody drew a smile on with the marker.
Clint Eastwood had a Bradley Cooper, like, literally take one of the hands and, like, move it in his finger to make it look like there was actual movement. There's a scene where it looks ridiculous.
Creepy.
I don't. There's no babies in Hollywood. No,
I don't know. They couldn't get a.
I don't.
They couldn't get.
I don't love Clint Eastwood movies, you guys.
But also,
as a director, I mean, I like his old, like his acting.
Uh-huh.
I find his movies,
regardless,
long and boring.
I actually love
full
his
of
movies,
fake babies.
But, however, yeah, regardless, you can find a better looking fake baby.
Yes.
Yeah. If you have the
Clint Eastwood
budget
or
of an
no
American sniper, yeah. You know, you
any director with that kind of a budget can find a good.
You gotta. Yeah. That's right where they ran out of money.
Yeah.
It just put a banana in that blanket. You gotta do this scene, you guys. We're losing light. We're inside. We're losing inside light. I'm old. I'm 90. Let's go. Nobody cares. Nobody's just looking at the baby.
Yeah, go to the street. Just buy Baby Alive. But at least it moves.
But also, you know, for Clint Eastwood's career. Lifetime Achievements Awards and award, and famous for 50 years and amazing. And also to be most of your life and career without the internet. And now to be an aged, glorified, you know, incredibly heralded director and there's internet. He's got to be like, I'm sorry, people had a problem with the baby.
Yeah.
Like, like, you're like, of everything I've done and said and been and represented and all the films and all the everything people are mad about.
The baby.
Like, of course it's a fake baby. It's a movie.
Yeah.
Get out of here. I just assume he talks like my dad. Now get.
It just reminded me of Johnny Depp dressed as the wolf in the woods. Like, come on. We have
the pedophile wolf.
Yeah, we have. No. You could have a real wolf now.
You could draw a wolf.
So, anyway, but if you haven't seen the movie yet, now you're going to be looking for it. All right, when's the fake baby scene coming
up? And let me just say this, too.
It'll make it a drinking game.
Yeah. Like, let go, because again, another fan I was speaking to who listens to the show, Paige Branson, who's done a lot of the artwork. We've mentioned her before. She was like, so what?
She also makes fake babies.
She makes great fake babies.
Wow. Yeah. What a plug. What a... Can't make that plug sincerely very often.
Go to pagesfakebabies.com and so
great fake babies.
But she was like, Graham, should I even see this movie? Because I heard it's all pro-war. And I was like, no. So anyone out there, put that fucking noise aside and go see this movie, because I think it's a well-made movie, but you might have the reaction that Laura had. But just going to watching it as a film.
Right.
What is a movie or not a movie? Yeah. It's I certainly wouldn't. And it was nuanced as far as it certainly wasn't a hard line pro or anti any comment on war. It was like, look, this is
what it does.
There's there's horror. This is the horror of war in a very, as opposed to like Apocalypse Now, like this is a very intimate look at the horror of war and what it does to a person. And then
make your own assessments.
Yeah,
on that.
But it certainly didn't. Yeah. I wouldn't go, ooh, wish I could go to war.
Turn the noise and filters off and just go see
it. Just go see it and then let us know what you guys think of it. All right.
Now let's talk about switch gears considerably here and talk about Paddington.
Fake babies. Fake you know baby what? Bears.
I'm telling you right now, bear didn't look better real. Than the baby.
So talk to us about Paddington's PTs.
Fake yellow rain boots.
Well, he was, lost.
No one has ever gone from what that movie to this one in the history of anything.
Well, he did, leave the jungle, and he did have to live somewhere else, and it was an adjustment, and he couldn't pick cereal. So
bears live in jungles? Yeah.
This is like somebody...
Deepest Peru, yes.
All right.
Okay, Apocalypse Now, and next up, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, everybody.
A lot of similarities. I like it.
This is how the world should work.
Now, this is the kind of movie, too, I was
this
like,
is America.
Oh,
you send your kids in to see American Sniper, you go watch Paddington, meet back up for ice cream. Yeah, that's the way I said it, Graham. Graham looked at me, his eyes said, I think you meant that the opposite. Yeah. No, I did not.
I did not.
I'll see you at Froyo, kid.
Here's the good thing. It's actually a really good movie. It's definitely still a kid's movie. It doesn't hit that sweet spot of like a family movie. If you grew up with Paddington, you might have a soft spot for
more
it.
More like Paddington the Boar. Yeah. What? I like stupid reviews.
It's actually really, it's really well made. It's a great kids movie. And the other thing I liked about it, too, is there's a ton of, like, really good British actors in it. It's everyone from, like, Doctor Who.
Downton Abbey.
Yeah, Downton Abbey. And also, Nicole Kidman is fantastic in this
film.
She looks like she's having so much fun as the villain who wants to catch and stuff Paddington.
I could buy her as a villain.
Yeah, she's great. So it's the kids really liked it.
I'm saying I think she's a bad person.
Yeah. Are you going to go into Scientology now?
I feel like it was a really anti-bear movie.
Yeah.
So, how do you feel about that backlash?
Yeah.
Well, I think the pro-bear people have lost their goddamn shit. That's what I think. Yeah.
Obviously, Paddington is a... treason.
Yes. Treason. Just across the board.
Well, it's very British.
Yeah, well, there you go. We need an American director to goddamn get the bear fucking statement out there right. Get it right or go
Hitting
home.
Getting it all wrong with bears.
So, it was actually...
That bear was so different in the books than in that movie.
Yeah.
Like, the Paddington in the books, like, is unrecognizable in that movie. It's bullshit.
Great points, Laura House.
Thanks, you guys.
Now here's your coloring book.
Thank you. I went to purple.
Yeah. Now we'll give you yellow.
I'm sorry. It sounds like a good movie. Yeah. I heard it was a good movie.
It actually is. It surprised me.
Is it for younger than like the Lego movie?
It's you know what? It both my kids enjoyed it at 9 and 6. And it really skews definitely a little younger than Lego movie. But it was still really well put together. I also like the way it was directed. It kind of had that like fantastical feel to it, almost like a Harry Potter-ish or like a Willy Wonka. Mm. And they did some cool things with the cinematography and the staging where Paddington and the family lived. They kind of created almost like a dollhouse. Like you could even see some of those scenes in like Grand Budapest,
each
room is like a different scene that you just kind of track from forward to back. Mm. It was really cool. So it was kind of that fun. A kids movie that adults, you're not rolling your eyes just wishing it would be over. It was there, there's some adults, there's some adult humor in there, like adults for the parents, not adult humor, but it's definitely not the focus. It's not like watching Up or like a Pixar movie where it's made for everyone. Mm-hmm. This is a kids movie, but it makes the attempt to make sure the parents aren't completely bored. And it's a beloved character. It has a huge history, and it was definitely treated well.
Which is not easy to do. When you have somebody like that, people have been reading for years.
And you could tell the filmmakers were fans. I mean, right. Obviously there was never an evil taxidermist chasing him to stuff him, but it was like a great addition to the story. And, you know, it hits all the right notes of like family and the bear and just, you know, them, the bear actually bringing the family together. And it's a good, if you have kids, they'll enjoy this film. It's a good kids film.
All right.
Nice.
And it's very British too, which actually really helped it, I think, because it had that real British feel to it, like just, you know, he's at the train station and he's like, all right, there's a bear, let's just keep walking, you know.
They're so polite.
That kind of like well, you know, someone will take care of it, it's all right. And then it's the mother that stops and starts talking to the bear and brings him home. So it's really none of our business.
Stiff upper lip.
Yeah, it has a lot of that British flavor to it, which makes the movie all the better. So it's nice. Good. So I recommend it.
All right. So I saw the movie Cake with Jennifer Aniston. Now,
and a bear.
And a bear. It's a cake bear.
Yeah.
Jennifer Aniston nominated for a Golden Globe and nominated for a SAG Award. Didn't win them. Not nominated for an Oscar. And, you know, the politics of why she did or didn't get nominated.
But first, let's hear what this movie's about.
Here's what this movie is about. I'll just read you the IMDb thing. Claire becomes fascinated by the suicide of a woman in her chronic pain support group while grappling with her own very raw personal tragedy. So it's really, and Jennifer Aniston plays this woman who has severe chronic pain. So she's in pain and probably has a prescription painkiller addiction. Mm-hmm. This happens a lot when people get, you know, chronic pain. The movie starts out in the support group where Anna Kendrick is someone from the support group who took her own life to deal with her pain, I guess. So it's really Jennifer Aniston, and, you know, she's mean and not nice to people, and then kind of how she's dealing with this.
Now, where does the title come from, Cake?
Well, then I'm getting into spoilers.
Oh, is it a spoiler? Okay,
yeah,
never mind.
So, okay. Chris, you're not...
I have to assume she's a fan of the band. And that's the only thing that makes her feel better.
Yes, it becomes like her new oxy. Mm-hmm.
That she's like, you know what? I only get a little respite of relief. That's what I'm listening to. Cake. Yeah.
Percocet doesn't do it.
No, none of it. None of it.
Just...
But that song about the long jacket... is the only thing that helps me get out of bed in the morning.
Spoiler alert.
it's a totally different. I read the book and it was a totally different cake.
Yeah.
It was a Black Forest cake in the book, and maybe they thought that was too controversial. And it was just a pound cake in the movie, and that's not right. You can't take that kind of liberty when you make a film.
Not everyone not everyone likes cherries. So, you know, you got to take it out of the Black Forest.
But that is what it is. That was the cake. And you're telling me, forget it. It was an anti-cake movie, and I won't let my kids see it, and I won't see it again.
And I'm going to buy American cherries.
And I'm going to sell my friends' DVDs on eBay.
And no one ever eats cake again.
Yep.
And why are we doing Southern accents? but it's a great performance by her.
Okay.
She does do a good performance. It is one of those kind of movies that methodically goes along and you're kind of like,
is it tiresome?
A little bit.
It sounds tedious and tiresome.
It can get that way a little bit. Mm-hmm. There are really good moments in it, and she, you know, the arc of her character is pretty impressive. I just don't know that this movie, in terms of getting a flat out Oscar nomination, maybe they didn't push it as hard. But also, I don't know, like, I was thinking about...
Was her performance Oscar-worthy, in your opinion?
Or was the film an Oscar? Sometimes it's a great performance and not a heavy-hitter film.
It's a it's a good film. It has good moments.
It doesn't sound like Oscar to me.
It doesn't sound Oscar. Like, to me, a movie that's got basically... Shunt is like The Fault in Our Stars, I thought was an amazing film. I thought Shailene Woodley she should have got more nominations and didn't.
Mm-hmm.
That movie just got kind of left behind, I guess.
Sometimes, when it comes out early.
Comes out early.
You forget about it.
And then there's no marketing budget behind it.
Maybe they have no money. I don't know what. They didn't have money to market or whatever. So Cake is good. And I will say this. I want to see Jennifer Aniston do more roles like this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like I've seen enough of her romantic comedy side. Mm-hmm. I think we've got it.
So's everyone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So in that sense, it's good.
It's time for the transition.
It is time for the transition.
Better late than never.
You know, is she better than some of these other women that were nominated? I don't know. I mean, Julianne Moore is kind of sweeping everybody away. Yeah. And still Alice. So, but I would say this. I don't know. Oscar worthy, maybe. But
decent movie.
But good movie and worth seeing Jennifer Aniston play this. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Okay. And good.
So it didn't feel like a snub to you?
No. It didn't feel like a snub. I just felt like it's a... Well, here's the thing.
Would she be number 6 on the list?
8.
Okay.
she's good. It's one of her best performances. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. But as we've talked about, this time of year, these are all really, there's a lot of very good movies that come out with good performances. And so the snub talk, whatever, like just see it. It's a good film.
Yeah. I only read the headline of this, but there's all the bad click hole headlines on, not specifically click hole the site, but like just that you're supposed to click on these outrageous headlines. And it was like, I was the number one snubbed, said Jennifer Aniston on like Martin Luther King Day.
Right.
And people were just posting like, for MLK Day wasn't Selma. Poor you, Jennifer Aniston. But honestly, I didn't read it because I was just like, that's so stupid.
Yeah,
but apparently, like, I can't imagine she was like, I'm going to go out in the press and say I was really snubbed.
Yeah.
Did she just get here? I can't imagine anyone would go, yeah, I was pretty much the most snubbed. Like, no one would ever call themselves the most snubbed person.
The most
person.
Snubbed ever.
I was the most snubbed, and I do want to make a point of that on Martin Luther King Day. That I've had more problems than anyone else culturally in America.
Now, if that was the actual statement, I think that would be great.
I was the number one snub.
If she said exactly what you just said.
Oh, yes.
Word for word.
Yes, that would be amazing.
And then everyone would go, oh, well, she's gone crazy.
Yeah, she's gone insane.
I fall for those things before where I'll see that and I click on it.
Oh,
it's
clickbait.
It's clickbait.
Yeah, it just is
and
not.
And it's like Jennifer Aniston, you know, the quote is like, well, you know, I think snubbing can happen, but we're all good people. And it's like, what?
No, I'm just excited about the Golden Globes or something. Oh, she's
the headline had
really
completely different words.
Yes, yes, exactly. So I was like, that's why I didn't click either. But I was like, wow, that became, and then people will comment without the clicking. Well, she's outrageous. whatever. What an ungrateful. And it's like, I have to assume none of this happened.
Yeah.
It's like Clint Eastwood with the fake baby. Really?
Right. Really? Just what? I haven't earned any goodwill.
Yeah.
In this country.
Yeah.
You're mad about a baby arm. All right.
I would love to have seen the set that day, though. It was like if people were getting mad, like, not one person better mention the fake baby again. No, just shoot the scene. Shoot the scene.
And then people, I think the baby looks great.
Yeah.
He was just using a bag of marshmallows.
All right, I know people like to joke around on my set, but get rid of that real baby and bring me back my fake baby.
All right, so you just saw...
It's your granddaughter, Mr. Eastwood.
Get her out of here. She's not fake. She's not on the goddamn set. You just saw a most violent...
They bring in a real baby and he's trying to date her.
Yeah.
I'm saying he dates young. Clint, if you bring in a real baby, he's going to... Trace is just going to ask out that baby.
You know, especially...
You got to tell that baby she needs boundaries.
So you saw a most violent year.
I did see A Most Violent Year.
Which is listed as a 2014 release date, but it just came out.
So yeah, they do that all the time. Well, didn't Sniper do that too?
Qualifying run, yes.
Yeah, they release it in like a Lemley's in Pasadena, and then they go, it counts.
But here's the thing. The first it was getting January 2nd. I think this is one of those movies that they thought might have Oscar hopes and then said bailed on it and pushed it past the first.
I would support them on that because it was, we got it as a screener. And so we watched it wasn't that violent of a year. First of all, it was, it, I mean, such a title where you go, oh, this is going to make Goodfellas seem like Paddington. but I it was just like, there was almost no violence. And then it was just this long, like.
Now, wait a minute. Was it a year?
I did not time. It felt like, no, it. I don't know if it took, it, maybe it took place over a year. But when I read about, it was one of those when you read about it, even after, it sounds more interesting than what you actually saw. Like when I read about it, it was like, no, this was a year in New York that had to do with, you know, crimes and gangs and, you know, the like underculture, you know, right, of society. And there was just a really a lot of violence as people were trying to do this. But the person they chose to focus on wasn't involved in, for my taste, enough violence at all. Like, there was a lot of tension or almost violence, but it was just this weird, like, now that we've seen, frankly, The Sopranos, or now that we've seen, I don't know, now that we've just seen these
Goodfellas,
great shows that sort of deliver this, it was just kind of a long, slow story of this guy trying to, he was trying to buy an adjacent property to his business so his business could expand. And
didn't work. Yeah.
And there were some chases, and that you knew some people were bad. But I kept waiting for, like, oh, they've got it's, whoa, you know, like an hour into it. Well, it's gonna must be big. They really, really waited on it. But it's also one of those movies that, remember when I came
like, what's
in,
gonna, like, what's gonna set off Denzel Washington so he gets to become
where,
an equalizer?
Where
yeah, when is that gonna happen?
Yeah, when is this going to, this, or like, when is this guy just gonna lose his shit? Mm-hmm. You know, like, is he the reason it's the most violent year? But it was one of those, it could possibly be this. Remember when I came in and I was like, I don't get Llewyn Davis. Like, I don't get it.
Right.
And then my friend explained it to me, and I was big enough to pass on that information and go, well, that sounds fascinating. Like, I was honestly just too dumb to understand that it wasn't about what was happening on the surface and in reality. It was all metaphor for this, and it was this odyssey. So I'm open to that. With most violent year, people are like, no, don't you see that what you were watching on the surface was actually representative of some? But for me, we watched, on the same day we watched Imitation Game and we watched Most Violent Year, and I was just, Imitation Game was so much more interesting and entertaining and like a really important story that you felt like needed to be told, and great characters and great perform. I don't know, so Most Violent Year, you're on a long plane trip? Well, I don't know. Yeah, I just watch it on cable.
I'm looking at the director here, J.C. Shandor, and now he has done Margin Call, and he did All Is Lost. And I think that, to me, like, those movies were both like, oh, they you saw the trailers and you went, oh, this could be
he's
something.
A tease, so you're saying
nothing.
He's
yeah. Margin
he's
Call,
a trailer
nothing.
Tease
All Is Lost was that Robert Redford movie that got
oh,
like one nomination.
God, that was a horrible movie.
Yeah, that you didn't like at all.
Really?
So I'm just I'm actually, now that I look at that,
well, you
history
gotta,
I'm not surprised. Okay. By
that's how I felt, because we were like, I mean, what a great title.
You gotta give
you gotta put it right in. Yeah. And then it was like,
you gotta give him credit for being paired with an excellent trailer editor.
And look who's in it. You've got Oscar
really
Isaac, Jessica Chastain, and David Oyelowo. So
Oscar Isaac was amazing, because it was like a half hour and they go, wasn't that guy Llewyn Davis? And I couldn't see it the whole thing. I was like, that guy's so good. Right. Like, definitely the performances were great. It was just the story was just long. I mean, like, if it were Law and Order, like, that whole story would have taken place in like the first 5 minutes. And I even feel like that makes me sound like a complete idiot of like, I need my shows faster. I don't mind if I'm interested or intrigued or whatever, but it was just like,
it was more like a moderately violent 18 months.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. I just didn't not even. I don't even know if I heard a gunshot, you guys.
I feel like they were probably setting this thing up to get Oscar, and then it focused. They tested it horribly.
Yeah, they were like, "Oh, we're way off."
Nope, January.
Like they did with Bucket List.
Yeah,
remember like Bucket List a couple years ago? They were like, "Oh, Morgan Freeman and Jack Nicholson, and this is incredible." And all the trailers were like sunset shots and sweeping Grand Canyon shots, and you were just like, "Oh my god!" And they were gonna die, and the last wishes, and then it came out, and it was a little more popcorny feel than what they had. And then it was like,
yeah, these two old codgers are going on some trips.
Just seemed, grumpy old men living their dreams. It just seemed like, that seems weird that we even got that as a screener. But yeah, it seemed like one of those, like in a different way, it just didn't hold up. And I saw it in a room with three other people and
everyone,
no one was arguing with me. I was like, House, couldn't you see it?
Oh, right.
And a guy from Screen Junkies. He's a professional.
Well, we want to talk about now Vegas.com.
Hello.
We're happy to have them as a sponsor. And here's the great thing about Vegas.com when you're planning a trip to Las Vegas. They are insiders. They work there. They live there. So they pretty much serve up Vegas from the inside. Everyone at Vegas.com lives in Vegas, works in Vegas, and parties in Vegas.
It'd be weird if they partied in Laughlin.
Yeah, that would be weird.
It'd be like, why would you do that?
I like my partying outside of Vegas.
Yeah.
But this is my job.
I like a smaller, less fun place.
Yes, and scorching heat. And an air of desperation. So, but here's the great thing. You get 10% off everything on there except air and hotel packages with the code CFN. Now, there's a lot of cool shows we're going to talk about. Graham is going to be there. You could get 10% off tickets to his show.
February 17th through the 22nd, I'm headlining the Improv at Harrah's Hotel and Casino, Center Strip.
But and also, you know what else you can go see? Penn and Teller are actually really good there. You definitely want to check them out. You could get 10% off CFN. I actually saw them a while ago, and they were really good. People forget sometimes that as entertaining as they are, they're actually really good magicians. They're amazing magicians. Like, especially when, like, Penn, he'll go out on monologues and just kind of talk and talk. And then sometimes you're like, well, when's he going to do some magic? And then when they do something, it's, like, spectacular. Mm-hmm. Like, just the opening, I remember seeing... when I saw them a couple of years ago, they let people come up on stage before the show. And there was just this crate with an open lid. And you can inspect the crate and look at it. Okay, fine. It was on wheels. It would, like, move around. It was empty. And the show started. A stagehand came, closed it. And the beginning of the show was Teller just comes out of the crate after everyone had, like, inspected it before, before the show. It was really cool. So it's a great show to see. It's really, Penn really goes off on some cool tangents. Like he just talks and does some monologues in addition to the great magic. So definitely check it out.
He seems kind of crazy.
Yeah. Oh, there's that, but that's part of the fun.
But that's part of the show. Yeah. And that's their thing too. They've always been the guys who, they started out mocking magicians,
mm-hmm. right.
but they do it with great tricks.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The show that I would recommend is Blue Man Group.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I saw them originally in Manhattan and their original theater that they started in right. this cool little, like, I don't know, 150 seat theater or something like that. So now the shows they do in Vegas are mammoth. Like they're right. really big and they have all these Vegas themed things in them. And it's you've seen them before. I'm sure you've seen them on Letterman or whatever.
Right.
But seeing them live is a really cool thing.
And it's a fun show
too. It's a really fun show. And it's very inventive and it has such a like, all their shows have a very kind of silliness to them.
Mm.
And sometimes they try to make a point, and then sometimes they make fun of trying to make a point. Like, they make fun of social commentary, mm-hmm. in a sense, and which is not easy to do. And they're also making fun of whacked-out performance artists, and shit like that, which I find hilarious. So that's a good show to do. And
that's great.
And if you use coupon code CFN, they also have, on Vegas.com, they have this thing called Drop Watch. So if you buy a hotel room on Vegas.com and the price lowers, they'll notify you and there's a number you call and then you can get the lower rate.
Right.
Oh, wow.
If you book a room through Vegas.
So you don't have to worry about you know, losing money. You're going to make sure you get the,
like,
the best
man,
rate.
I should have waited. Like, you don't have to worry about
this
that.
Room is now $600 less each night.
What rooms were you buying?
That's fancy.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, no, that, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Go get
I don't know if it's on Vegas.com, but I recently saw Britney Spears at the Venetian. Pretty fun. My friend was having a bachelorette party. And
that sounds
like
a blast.
She was like, I want to have a bachelorette party in Vegas. So I'm like, boo. And then she goes, we're all going to go see Britney Spears. And I was like, I'm in. It was pretty great. Yeah. Because it's so hyper-produced.
Right.
And then she comes out and does her just everything about it is sort of fascinating.
That is the perfect place to see her.
Yeah, also, bachelorette party. Also, we were not the only ones. Like it seemed, because it just seemed like
was an all bachelorette party show.
There were many, and it was like it was like a million gay guys and 600 bachelorette parties. Like it was pretty
like fire and water.
Yes, it was fantastic. Everybody got along great, yeah, by the way. And then a couple of like, there were like three or four boyfriends that got dragged in. Right. But even they had a good time. Like it was just,
I would
you
love
know,
to see her.
Yeah, like you couldn't sit there and be sad.
Right. It's impossible.
Like, you know, it was just this insane. Yes, all hit, all killer. No, and she's not trying to sneak in her B-sides. Yes. She's not. Y'all, I just felt like this should have gotten more attention. Like, it is. Hit, hit, hit.
Yeah.
Oh, it's real fun. Nobody knows my smart side. No, oh, just come on. No, it's toxic. It. Yeah, oh, yeah, so good. Yeah, yeah. So good.
Yeah. Till the world ends.
Yeah, real fun. Move, yeah, move it along. Move it along. Yeah. And huge screens behind her and yep, so, costumes. And oh, it was pretty fun.
I love those kind of shows. Yeah. I would see her, Katy Perry.
You're dancing, yeah, screaming. What?
Like, down, yeah, on a giant swing.
Yes, or, yes, yes. Somebody's in a. You're getting. Yeah. There's glitter. Yeah. There's smoke. There's a giant swing.
Hydraulic stages. Yeah. I want all
insane dancers that clearly dance like 30, 40 times better than the actual star of the show. Yeah. But like you're just like, whoa, but still, it's great. That dude's made of rubber. It's incredible. It's just fun, all over the place.
So check it out, Vegas.com. Remember, coupon code CFN.
Boom.
It's good on everything except air and hotel packages.
And hopefully I'll see you there when I'm at the Improv.
Yes.
All right, DVDs.
Well, if you missed The Judge in the theater, good for you.
Here Come the Judge.
Yeah.
Wow. Laura House.
Nice.
Nailed it.
Good night. We're asking you to leave. We're going to need you.
Good night. Sorry, you guys. Bye. See you next year.
Nailed it. You screamed. Nailed it.
Woo! Here Come the Judge on DVD.
This movie was bad. This is a movie I think I would turn off if I was on an international flight.
Whoa.
I would probably not watch this all the way through. So good luck, guys.
That speaks ill of it.
Book of Life. This is actually produced by Guillermo del Toro. This is the animated film. And it's actually really, I didn't love it, but my kids loved it. And it's really beautiful to look at. Mm-hmm. And it's got a really cool animation style and great character design. It's not the best animated movie ever, but it's definitely worth a look, especially if you have kids.
All right, coming out, Fury. Again.
Which is what I call my butthole.
Yeah.
Book of Life?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Or The Judge.
Or The Judge.
I'm confused,
yeah,
on this whole. Which is it? I'm confused on all of this.
Fury.
Oh, oh God. All
right.
God. Please scream.
I'm sorry. Always a funny.
What about? Okay.
It works for any movie, by the way.
American Sniper?
That's, yeah, that's what I call my butthole.
Yeah. That's what I call my pinky.
Cake.
Yeah, cake, right? Vegas.com?
Mm-hmm. No, we're better with movie titles. Gone with the Wind?
I don't get it.
I don't get it.
Paddington?
That's what I call my butthole.
Paddington, no. Paddington, come here. So, Fury actually, God, this is another movie.
Well, I think we should just keep going. Project Almanac?
That's what I call my butthole.
The Avengers?
You're what? That's what I call her. Yeah.
Fantastic Four?
That's what I call my butthole.
Yeah.
Okay. Guardians of the Galaxy.
That's what I call my butthole. It's just a good answer to anything.
This is how... I feel
just
like
everybody can just unpack that. You go to the movie and you look up and no one in your group is expecting it.
Yeah.
And you just, oh, a most violent year? That's what I call my butthole. Armageddon. What? this is a good one.
Fury, I liked. This is another way that I forgot about. I'm surprised this didn't get any sort of Oscar anything. It didn't get any, no one pushed it on any level. It's another movie that shows you how horrible war is from the
eyes. Weren't they a little trapped in a tank?
Yeah, there's a lot of that. Mm-hmm. Is that what you think held it back from winning awards?
Maybe.
A little too tanky?
Maybe. A little claustrophobic.
A little too tanky. If they would have been more on horses.
If they'd moved around a little more.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe a convertible.
Get out of the tank. Walk around.
Open it up.
What's going on out there? Yeah.
Get like one of those Carmen Ghias and just drive around France and have a little more fun.
Go to a cafe.
Yeah.
Do something.
Meet some people.
No, I don't know. But it... Even from the trailer didn't even get me.
Hello? 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 Hello?
I got real little. But even the trailer was like, oh, it looked good. It looked good. Then it just looked like dudes yelling at each other in a tank.
There is a lot of that.
Yeah.
There's a lot of that.
So maybe it could get that award.
Yeah.
it could win a tanky.
Yeah.
I mean, wasn't it not? It had to have been nominated for a tanky.
Oh, tanky. That's what I call my butthole.
See?
Yeah, well, this.
It works for almost anything.
It could have been up for a yelly and a tanky.
It's the yelly snub. The yelly snub.
That is a snub if that didn't, if that wasn't nominated for a yelly. Then I don't know what the yellies are for.
Your indignation is righteous and pure, Laura House.
It's outrageous.
All right. DVD pick. What's this now?
Oh, you know, I'll save that for next time because we're running out of time.
Yeah, you save that.
Yeah.
all right. This week, Project Almanac.
That's why I'm about. Yeah.
Looks good, except for when they say produced by Michael Bay. Then I
know.
No. It's a good trailer. See, I don't even know if it looks that good.
Was this the Ben Franklin story?
It's the, it might be. It's a
he
time
created
travel
the
movie.
Almanac. Don't look at me like that.
I'm sorry.
You look at me like she's out of control.
I was dumb and didn't get the reference. I'm going to own that. Yes. I missed your reference. It was very smart. And I'm
stupid. Well, thank you.
My reaction was the judge of reactions.
Yeah.
Stupid and overrated. I'm excited in the sense that I'm a sucker for time travel movies.
Oh, me too. Okay.
So I feel like I have to see this.
But it doesn't have an aircraft carrier.
I know. But I just...
I'm in.
I'm going to see it.
I'm in.
I'm going to see it. I'm sorry. All I'm right. Apologizing to everyone in advance. I'm really sorry.
Do a written review. We want to read in-depth about this movie.
God damn it.
But now, come on. Now everyone's asking for it.
I'll do a point counterpoint with you.
Everyone's asking for it. Yeah. As soon as this episode drops, there's going to be 100 tweets of like, Graham,
easily.
I want a written review of Project Almanac.
You just had
and
to
you
turn...
have to put in the review, this movie was produced by Michael Bay.
Okay, well, this is bullying. This is a little. Prevent our kids from getting involved. Little.
I'm just going to say, do you accept the challenge or don't you? That's all.
Yeah, I'll fucking asshole. Just give me something to do when I'm in Tahoe this week.
All right. So look forward to that. Written
you're
going to
let him treat you? You're going to take that?
So we also have The Loft.
Which is?
It is what I call my butthole. But that's because there's a upstairs little bit where you can sleep.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
You guys that's opened very, it up a little bit?
Yeah, we opened it up a little to space. You know, then it makes you feel like high ceilings. It feels big. It feels bigger than it is.
Yeah.
It could be a guest room. It could be an office. It could be a lot of different things. That's great. Put a futon in there. Futon couch.
Oh, there's a futon in there. Yeah, absolutely. Oh, perfect. Yeah, absolutely.
Futon.
For guests.
That's what I call my butthole.
Yeah. For guests?
For guests. Chris Manzini, ladies and gentlemen.
So now let's talk about The Loft. Bring it up for a minute. This is another great dumping ground movie where, like, I don't know when we're going to release this. Oh, January, February. And I just want you to read the description on IMDb.
Five married guys conspire to secretly share a penthouse loft in the city, a place where they can carry out hidden affairs and indulge in their deepest fantasies. But the fantasies become a nightmare when they discover the dead body of an unknown woman in the loft and they realize one of the group must be involved.
Oh, wow. Like The Apartment, but modern and sinister.
Yeah.
That Jack Lemmon.
And not nearly as entertaining, I'm sure.
I believe this is a remake. This is a remake of a 2008 movie that came
out. Well, it's about time.
Belgium.
It's been almost 6 years.
Yeah.
It's time we need to remember. You guys all remember the Belgium Loft from 2008,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. It was a classic. Fun.
Yeah, so we definitely need to redo that.
Black and White is the next movie, too. And this is the new Kevin Costner movie.
Yeah, but it's a Mike Binder film.
That's a... Ooh. We'll put it,
strike
film. Will Burr, isn't it?
Oh, is he?
Yeah, that's what he was plugging on Bill Maher.
I'm curious to see it. It looks interesting, you know, but Mike Binder always...
It's about a custody battle.
But Mike Binder always does, like, he always goes half with me. Like, when I watch his films, I'm always like, all right, Mike, let's get into it. And then it's like, and then he's in it, and then it's, so, I don't know.
January, February release.
What does that tell you?
Yeah. So, all right. So maybe it'll be good. Who knows?
What?
I mean, I'm kind of like, you know what? Let's just assume incorrectly that it's going to be a good film.
Okay. Guess what, motherfucker? You're writing a review of this.
Oh, damn it.
Here you go.
Gauntlet down.
There you go. You got to
taste your own medicine.
Yeah. All right. I'm dull enough to do it.
Black and White and Project Almanac reviews coming soon, guys. Hot and fresh.
Wonder if I could use a guild card to get into that screening.
Did you guys like Whiplash?
Yeah, I did like Whiplash.
It's what I call my butthole.
Yeah.
Laura House out of nowhere. All right, that's our episode, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, one more thing I want to mention real quick. One of our interns, Chris Morgan, wrote a book. He's a big Mystery Science Theater fan. So it's called The Comic Galaxy of Mystery Science Theater 3000, 12 Classic Episodes, and the Movies They Lampoon. He also wins an award for the most awkward and long title of a book ever written. So you can actually get this on Amazon and check it out. It is written by our intern, Chris Morgan.
Support this book, guys. Support the book. Support Chris.
He's a huge fan. Because
we can't pay him.
Yeah.
So if you guys buy his book, then maybe he can make some money.
Yeah. If you could help him out, that would be great.
And use coupon code CFN.
Yeah. Vegas.com.
Vegas.com. All right, that is our episode, you guys. Laura House, where can people see you, find you on the internet?
Twitter at I'm Laura House. I am Laura House. My website, laurahouse.com. And I'm doing a lot of stand up around LA. It'll be on my website.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Nice.
Check her
Flappers?
Out.
Flappers?
I was just headlining Flappers.
Oh,
so
cool.
Awesome. I'll be back around. Yeah.
Excellent.
Follow Laura, guys. She's been writing.
And still meditating, too, right?
Meditating, teaching meditation. Just taught someone yesterday.
Oh, cool.
What's your
doing it?
If someone wants to get meditation for practice from you, where would they go?
Go to laurahouse.com. It's an easy way to find me.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Sweet. I will be in Lake Tahoe this week, January 28th through February 1, where I will be watching Project Almanac.
Yeah.
And weeping
openly. Hoping they're getting more snow so I can ski and
have an excuse. I couldn't get to the movie theater.
Oh, sorry, Chris. It was powder. And then I will be watching the Super Bowl on Sunday in the sports book and probably live tweeting it. And betting on the coin toss because you can get to do that.
Oh, wow.
Which is so fun. So check that out. And then also February 11th, I'm with Murray Valeriano and several other surfing comedians on the Comics on Safari show at the Brea Improv. And then headlining the Hollywood Improv Saturday, February 14th, Valentine's
Aww,
Day.
Yeah, bring your sweeties.
Mm, bing, bang, bang.
Make out city.
Yeah, that's why they had to hire the divorce guy to headline.
Aww.
He'll be free. So
that could have been any comic.
Yeah.
I live in that framing. There's one divorced comic, and we need to get one comic.
Who's the one guy
who it didn't work out for?
Yeah,
in LA,
most comics' relationships are rock solid,
and non-comics.
Yeah, everyone's doing great. And then, of course, Las Vegas, February 17th through the 22nd. Go to Vegas.com. Use coupon code CFN to get discounts on that show.
And I will be at the Improv in Lake Tahoe, February 11th to the 15th.
Sweet.
Over the Valentine's Day holiday.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be a lot of fun. Come check it out. And we want to remind you guys, too, to check out. We do have an app. I know sometimes you guys are like, I don't want to deal with iTunes. That's fine. You can get our app. And it's also available for Android, but only at Amazon. So people have been asking, well, I can't find the Android app. It's only on Amazon.
Okay, that's the Android app only at Amazon. And then, of course, there's the
iTunes is where you get the iOS app.
Yeah, sweet.
And also check out the store. We've got a lot of cool Dana Gould stuff right now. We got his T-shirts and his CDs and DVDs. And yeah, thank you. Thanks, guys.
Thank you guys so much for listening to episode 253. My name is Graham Elwood.
And I'm Chris Mancini. As always, remember,
Han shot first.
That's what I call my butthole.